This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my life and my faith get stronger and stronger. I am a doer of the Word of God. I am blessed in my doing. Amen. Let's thank God for the Word today, can we? Come on, thank Him for the Word of God. Wow. So I hope you're going to take some notes in our series on whatever happened to hope. A lot of people are hopeless, overwhelmed, hurting. So that's why I'm teaching on hope. And I looked it up. You can do it yourself. I Googled, and I'm going to go to God, but I Googled. And I asked, you know, what are the benefits, secular, what are the secular benefits of maintaining an attitude of hope? Now we know the Bible definition is not a wishing and a hoping, but the Bible definition is confident expectation that something good is in your future. Bible hope is a confident expectation of something good in your future. And we know that God meets us on the level of our expectations. So I challenge you, what are you expecting in 2026? What are you believing for? Have you written down your goals? We're a goal-oriented church. There's gold in them, their goals, right? So we're going to end this season strong together as a church community by talking about hope. What has ever happened to your hope? Maybe you started out strong this year, and right now you feel hopeless for some challenges, some difficulties, some adversity that you went through this year. I want to help you get your hope back. And those of you who already say, Pastor, I've got goals for next year set up, a month, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, the whole year. I'm ready to go. I'm prepared for a brand new year. I got it all together. I want to help you go to a new level in 10X. Your hopes. Amen. So I Googled it, and here's what it said. Secular, a person with hope, it reduces depression. It reduces depression and anxiety. Now, again, this is Google. This is secular. So that right there is enough for me to teach on hope, because how many people you know are depressed right now, stressed out right now, agitated, irritated, confused, mad, angry, upset, disappointed, hurt, offended, living in the past, magnifying their pain. Wow. So just a person that will feed and maintain an attitude of hope, it reduces depression and anxiety. It goes on to say that a person with an attitude of hope, they recover faster from surgeries. They recover faster from illnesses. A person with hope has a stronger immune system. Again, you check it out. Go to the internet. See if I'm telling the truth of what it said on the internet. Just secular. It reduces depression. It reduces anxiety. It causes people to recover faster from surgeries and illnesses. It strengthens your immune system. And a person with hope, it said, that they're more resilient. A person with hope, now again, this is secular, but this is so cool, they find ways to overcome obstacles. Wow. In other words, a person with hope is a problem solver. And problem solvers get the raise. Your value to your company determines your package. So a person with hope, why would I teach on it? I want you to get raises. I want you to get promotion. I want you to make more sales. I want you to have higher favor. I want you to be a problem solver out there. A person with hope, and they feed and maintain that attitude, they're resilient, and they find a way to overcome obstacles. A person with hope has a lower risk of suicide. A person with hope, look at this, will persist longer. Persist longer. A person with hope sets big goals. A person with hope sets big goals. A person with hope has lower blood pressure, longer lifespan by 15%. A person with hope has lower blood pressure, a longer lifespan of 15%. I could keep going. I'll stop with this. A person with hope has healthier relationships, because a person with hope doesn't attract dysfunctional people into their life. A person with hope helps to heal dysfunctional people, right? So those are some benefits from the internet that I wrote down. There were many more, but that right there is enough for us to study hope, don't you think? I mean, really, go back through that list, and probably a lot of us see ourselves there. Maybe you're facing something today. Well, you need hope, and you need to be around people that are hopeful, because they find a way. They always find a way for the obstacle in the way to get over it. A person with hope gets up, and they're not a victim, they're a fighter. A person with hope gets up, and they're not a victim on Monday morning, they're a fighter. A Monday morning. Wow. A person with hope has a reason. You heard it right there. They persist longer. They persist longer. They recover quicker. They have the right perspective on life. Oh my goodness. So let me give you an acrostic. Let me give you an acrostic right here. And I like this. Hope. If you look on the screen, an acrostic, and look what the initials, H is for hold on tightly. Hold on to your hope. O is for one more day. Hold on to your hope one more day. Why? P is for possibilities are coming. Man, that should light your, come on, baby, light my fire. The doors, hallelujah. Come on, baby, light my fire. Possibilities are coming. And E is for everything can change. How cool is that? To remember what hope is? I'm going to hold on to my hope today. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to lose my hope. I'm not going to give up of that mental picture that gives me confident expectation that there are possibilities tomorrow, Monday, coming into my life where it can change everything in my life. If I believe that, I'm going to keep on keeping on, keep on persisting, keep on fighting the good fight of faith, keep on trying to figure out a way, keep on getting up, keep on bouncing back, not going to break under pressure, because tomorrow possibilities are coming your way that could change everything. Wow, I like that. I like that. I like this. That's a great acrostic. So, four reasons for hopelessness. Am I helping anybody so far? I sure love you. Four reasons for hopelessness. Number one, problems. Problems come to discourage us. I got problems. Anybody else got problems? Yeah, three of you got problems? Then you can have our problems, right? Because we don't want to be left out, because all of God's children got problems. I mean, we all got problems. I mean, today, all of us have got some kind of problem. Health, finances, marriage, parenting, children, job, court, judge, counselor, rent, electric bill. We all got problems. But when I realize that problems come to try to discourage us, and if I allow that to happen, I'll lose my hope. If I focus on my problems, I'll lose my hope. I'll get discouraged instead of being encouraged. So where does hopelessness come from? It can come from problems, because problems try to discourage us. And every day, the bigger the problems you solve, the more money you'll make. Right? The more people you serve, the more influence you have. Boy, that's good stuff. All you business people, you owe me. Number two, people can rob us of our hope. People can disappoint us. Problems can discourage us if we let them, and we've all got problems. But we have to realize and look at our problems through the lens of what does God's word say. Remember, a person with hope, they find a way. They solve problems. They're not a victim, they're a fighter. What problems can I solve today? I'm trying to solve problems in your life of hopelessness, of lack of peace and joy and hope. I'm solving your problems every Sunday. That's what I'm doing. You realize that, right? Okay, from God's word. So hopelessness comes from people who disappoint us. You know, I remember when we came, Kim and I, 42 years ago to plant this church. People in the community, they weren't welcoming us with open arms, said, oh, we believe in your vision. I had more people telling me why it wasn't going to work. I remember that, you know, I went to speak at a Full Gospel Business Fellowship in Fenton. And I remember after I spoke, I shared, we had just started Church on the Rock. We had a few people, and I cast the vision for what is here today. And afterwards, there were more people who came up and told me, seriously, if I'm lying, I'm frying. Some of the better people than you have tried, and it didn't work. It'll never happen. It's a Catholic community. It's a small-knit community. You're crazy. I had more people say it wouldn't work than said it would work. So people can disappoint us. And if you focus on all the Christians that hurt you, you'll be paralyzed. You won't grow. You won't keep on keeping on. You'll lose your hope. You'll get mad at God and the church and Christians because Christians hurt people just like sinners hurt people. Can I have a witness? Okay. So just because, you know, I remember when I went to Bible college, Kim and I, Minneapolis, Minnesota, North Central Bible College, downtown Minneapolis. And when I went to Bible college, I thought everybody there was going to be angels. And I found out there were some fallen angels. Yeah, I was disappointed. So where does hopelessness come from? It comes from problems. It could come from people that disappoint us. Number three, a lack of purpose. People with a lack of purpose don't have any get up and go. People with a lack of purpose lose their hope. And it drains them. A lack of purpose, life is a drudge. People with no purpose, a life is all negative, cynical, sarcastic, jealous of those who have a purpose, envious of those who are successful, a victim mentality. Without a purpose, I lose hope. If I could let it, problems would steal my hope. They would discourage me. If I let it, people would disappoint me and rob me. If I let it, a lack of purpose, a lack of vision and mission would drain me and life would be a drudgery and it just dread day to day. That could steal my hope. That could steal your hope. And there are many more than these. But number four, perspective, the wrong perspective can defeat us. Discourage, disappoint, drain, and defeat us. They're having the wrong perspective. You know, the glass is half empty or the glass is half full. Focusing on the stoplight or the go light. Come on, somebody. Focusing on the milk or the milkshake. Focusing on the lemon or the lemonade. Right? So let's look at Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13, word of God on the screen. Now the God of hope. Did you know that hope has a name? God. Did you know that hope has a name? Jesus. Did you know that hope has a name? The Holy Spirit, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. They're called hope. How cool is that? Now, the God of hope. Whoa. So if I'm a Christ follower, if I'm born again, then I have an edge on the world. There's a reason for me to have hope in a hopeless generation because I'm born again. I'm in the family of God. I'm in the body of Christ. I'm the bride of Jesus. Amen. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So notice, if I'm believing, if I'm in faith today, The gauge is I've got joy, peace, and hope. If I'm believing, not doubting, not wavering, not wondering, but if I'm in faith, if I walk by faith and not by sight, if I'm in faith, if I'm believing, if I'm in the believing zone, proof is not me just saying it, but people will see joy, peace, and hope in my life. Come on, somebody. So the minute that I don't have joy, peace, and I don't have joy, peace, and hope, guess what? It should be an indicator. I got to get back into faith. I got to get back into faith. I'm out of the faith zone. I'm looking at my problems. I'm looking at people. I'm looking at my pain. I'm looking at no purpose. I'm looking at things the wrong way. Yeah. Now the God of hope, hope has a name, fill you with all joy, peace, in believing that you may abound in hope. That's God's will. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. So I said at the offering, one of the greatest things that you and I can learn to do as a Christian is be led by the Holy Ghost. Not led by pressure, not led by popular opinion, not led by people, not led by our past. Come on, somebody. But led by the Holy Spirit. Okay? I looked this verse up in the Greek New Testament, and here's what it said. Now the God of the hope fill you with every joy and hope in the sphere of believing, resulting in your superabounding. I like that. That's the Greek. In your superabounding in the sphere of the hope produced by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do y'all know the Holy Spirit? Did y'all say this morning, good morning, Holy Spirit. I surrender to you today, Holy Spirit. I have ears to hear, Holy Spirit. Speak to me today. Lead me today. Guide me today. Instruct me today. Holy Spirit, a relationship with the Holy Spirit produces peace, joy, and hope in our life. How cool is that? Oh, come on, let's have a big praise God, can we? Amen. Look at Job 8:13 on the screen. Job 8:13. Those who forgot God have no hope. How clear is that? Those who forgot God have no hope. Simple equation. Without God in this world, no hope. With God in this world, super abounding hope. Scenario, in this world, if I forget God on Sunday, it has no place in my life, or now Saturday. If I forget God, I'll be a person, a parent, a people in this world with no hope. But if I'm with God, I'm in this world, and I'm with super abounding hope. I like that. Those who forgot God have no hope. Look at Genesis 6:18 on the screen, or Hebrews 6:18. Here's what it says. Two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. That's why I trust God. That's why I lean on God. He's not a man that he should lie. We said that people will disappoint us. That takes our hope. People have disappointed you. They've disappointed me. And our trust can't be in that. Our trust has to be in God because God can't lie. I love that. A lot of people are angry at God. They're mad at God. They're blaming God. When God can be trusted, God can't lie. God can always tell the truth. It's impossible for God to lie. Look at this. We have encouragement, and we run to him for refuge, for the hope that's set before us. Everyone say the hope set before us. So what does that mean? It's there for our taking. It's there for our receiving. God's not going to force it on anybody, but we can choose hope. We can choose to be a fighter and not a victim because the hope we have in Christ every day of our life. Look at this now. Which hope we have as an anchor. Hope is an anchor. It's a stabilizer. Hope we have as an anchor. Every one of us in this room, everyone online, you're in a storm of some kind. You need an anchor. I need an anchor. You need an anchor to keep you stable, so you're not tossed to and fro, so you're not wavering, so you're not doubting, so you're not a roller coaster Christian, so you're not up one day and down the next. We need an anchor because we're all in some kind of a storm. And in the storm, we need to be stable for our family, for our children, for our friends, for our church, for our community. We need an anchor, and that anchor is God's hope. It's an anchor to your soul. What is your soul? It's your emotions. It's your emotions. People with hope have emotions that are more stable and consistent than those who don't. Wow. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. I'm just about done. Can I have just a little bit more? 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on, here's the armor of God. The armor of God. I hope nobody's streaking here today. Amen. Those of you in the 70s, remember the streaking, you know? Maybe you were one of the streakers. I don't know. Praise God. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Oh, but look what it's for our head, our thoughts, our mind. And for the helmet, put on the hope of salvation. Hope protects your thought life. Hope protects your thought life. Godly hope will repel negativity. Godly hope will repel thoughts that don't agree with God's word. We've got to put on the helmet of hope every day if we're going to win the spiritual warfare that's in our head. Am I communicating today? So the helmet for your head is called hope. It's having a confident expectation. Remember the acrostic as the team comes out? Remember the acrostic, holding on tightly, right? We're to hold on tightly, believing that tomorrow possibilities are coming that could change everything in your life. Holding on to that, it gives you, it arms you. Hope arms you. Hope stabilizes you. Hope protects you. Hope guards your mind. So, Pastor, I want to know, how do I get my hope back? People have rained on my parade. People have made fun of my dreams. People made fun of my goals. People have made fun of me and what I'm all about, Pastor. How do I get my hope back? My parents didn't believe in me, my friends, my siblings. My husband, my wife, whatever, they didn't believe. How do I get my hope back? I got hit this year, adversity, Pastor, casualties, crisis. I've lost all hope. I've about given up, Pastor. I'm on my last breath. I came here today and I tied a knot in the rope. How do I get my hope back? Number one, feed on God's promises. That's why we do our one-year Bible. But look with me here in Romans 15, verse 4. Feed, and you say, that's so simple, but how many of us do it daily? How many of you and me do it daily? For whatsoever things we were written aforetime were written for our learning, that's the Old Testament, that we through patience and comfort of what? Look on the screen, family, of what? Scriptures, we might have what? What's going to bring you hope? The scriptures. What does the word say? Your one-year Bible. Your reading plan. You're reading the scriptures. Why is it so easier to pick up an autobiography or a magazine or Facebook than the book? Because that's anointed. The devil hates that book. Okay? So notice that the scriptures, it's simple, brings hope. Get in the word and you will be more hopeful. Here's what I know. In a teaching church, there's less counseling needed. But in a church where the pastor is an exhorter, they need all kinds of clinics. Why? Because I'm teaching you scripture. Every time you come here, we should be feeding your spirit, solving your problems, and giving you the answer, and giving you hope. So number one, how do I get my hope back? Get in the word. Get in the one-year Bible. Get in a Bible reading plan. The key is consistency, not you know, be doing it sparingly. It won't work. Okay? Number two, stay full of God's power. That's the Holy Spirit. Didn't it say that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have peace, joy, and hope? Stay full of God's power. Look what it says. The God of hope, hope has a name, fill you with joy, peace, faith, believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So what do I need to do? At the prayer line today, I need to scoop my little rear up here and get full of the Holy Ghost. I need to leave here. I need to leave here speaking in tongues. We're a Spirit-filled church. I need to every day of my life pray in the Spirit. Every day of my life pray in tongues. I got to stay full of the Holy Ghost if I'm going to have hope when I'm hit. And you will be hit because life is tough. Life is hard and life will hit you. So you need to get full. I need to be full. I need to be full of the Holy Ghost. I need to pray in the Spirit every day of my life because it's through the power of the Holy Spirit in hopeless situations, I'm still hopeful. Hopeful people change hopeless circumstances. Whoa. And then number three, commit to God's purpose for your life. How do I get my hope back? I feed myself the Word every day. I stay full. I get full of the Holy Spirit, and I pray in the Spirit every day of my life. And number three, I surrender, commit my life to God's purpose for my life. Look at Acts 20:24 on the screen, and with this I'm done. Acts 20:24. None of these things move me. This was Charlie Tremendous Jones' favorite scripture. He signed all of his books with this scripture, Charlie Tremendous Jones. None of these things I'm going through right now with my health, my kids, my marriage, my mate, my job, my career, my future, my bills, none of these things move me. Boy, I'd like to be there. How about y'all? None of these things move me. You're stable. You're steadfast. You're consistent. How? Neither count my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy. I'm going to need joy to finish. And you've already read, joy is a result of hope. Joy is a result. They're connected together. They're twins. With joy and the ministry, everybody that's under the sound of my voice, you have a ministry, which I received not from a cabinet, a denomination, a committee, your parents, your in-laws, your outlaws, but you received that ministry from the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church himself, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What is he saying? He's saying that I'm committed to the race, the assignment, the place, the purpose, the mission that God has for my life. And I'm going to finish strong with joy, and the joy in my life is a result of having hope. Having God's purpose in your life gives you hope. Amen, somebody? Gives you hope. And that's from the NIV. And if y'all got anything, like Bugs Bunny would say, that's all, folks. Did y'all get something today?
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church in the Rock is through the God is for You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church in the Rock and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is for You. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church in the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.